I want to thank you all for coming tonight, and I want to especially commend the committee made of local individuals who thought to put together this program during the 3 weeks and speak about Avat Yisrael, about love of Jews. And my topic tonight really, I think, touches on the heart of the issue and maybe the problem that we have. How to love every Jew. It sounds simple, but it's not necessarily so. And I saw that while I was in Israel, the terrible tragedy of Reuven Bauman. So the whole series is dedicated to Le'ili Nishmaso, and I'll add it as well. I announced the topic a year ago. In fact, as soon as they called me, I said, all right, this is my topic. And then I had to figure out a month, like, what am I going to say? Because it's a mystery. How to love every Jew. It doesn't really come natural to Jews, and it's something that's not easy. One thing I did learn, I think it was helpful that I spent the last almost month in Israel. Israel really is the laboratory of Avat Yisrael, of love of Jews, because the interactions there are constant. And of course, like in every laboratory, occasionally things blow up. And there are explosions, and you have that as well. I mean, daily life is going to be like that. Since almost everyone you come into contact with is going to be a Jew, all the social interactions, all the commercial interactions, all the natural interactions that take place on the bus, in the malls, in the stores, are going to be between Jews, and there's going to be hard feelings, or you'll start judging different groups in pejorative ways if you don't like the way that you're being treated. The elections don't help, of course. I mean, we see it in America. I mentioned to someone next door, it's a little worse in Israel and a little better in Israel. A little worse, because the same accusations among the same people, Israel, like America, really recycles its politicians. You can lose, and 10 years later, come out, and then lose again, come out. So you're never really finished until you're dead. But we don't have that in America. But it's also familial, because everybody knows each other for so long, and there's a ritual that everyone undergoes. I don't think people take it that seriously. You especially find the challenge, though, on the roads. All right? I was driving 2 weeks ago. I was going from Modi'in to Yerushalayim. The entrance to the city, if you imagine such a thing, is now closed for 3 years. The main highway one is closed for construction, modernization, which is fine. So 443 from Modi'in to the Begin is the road that people are using. Because the other main road is now closed, nerves are frayed. So I was driving, it was the left lane, only place to drive. And I was about 7 car lengths away from the car in front of me, which is a lot for me, but, you know, I've been cautious. Karen was next to me. The car ahead of me was about 1 car length in back of the car ahead of it, which is pretty natural. And then I was watching, I guess I'm maybe 30, 40 meters away, and a car in the middle lane entered that 1 car space between those 2 cars. And in Israel, no one likes to be cut off. I mean, toxic masculinity is at its apex there. And I was watching the duel then ensue. The guy who was cut off went into the middle lane and tried to shoot up, but he was blocked by a car. Then he went into the right lane. The whole purpose, like Pac-Man, the whole purpose was trying to get ahead of the car that had cut him off. So he's swerving in and out, all right? And I'm trying to drive up faster to get a view of the scene. And Karen is telling me, don't get involved, don't get involved. But these things happen on the roads every 10 minutes, every 5 minutes. And it's a hard place to drive, it's true. You have to be a little courageous and or reckless, also true. But human nature is visible in those types of relationships. And sometimes, and we speak of road rage here, you can drive for 5 minutes and just walk away enraged by the way people are treating you on the roads. And the thing is, they're all Jews. So how much of a reflection is it on Jews generally, on the Jewish people, on the way we're supposed to love and respect and appreciate other Jews? It's not simple. How to love every Jew? The fact is, we're not the same. And the Jewish people are not monolithic. And there's so many different hashkafos. And there's so many different levels of observance, different levels of commitment. And yet the Torah mandates, v'ahavta lerecha kamocha, and it doesn't offer us any exceptions. None. So then how do we accomplish that? I want to start with one question that I'll just ask you to keep in the back of your minds. Chazal say that Mashiach appears first in Tveria. Mashiach comes, he's not going to come, he eventually comes to Har Zeitim on his Chamor, but his first appearance is in Tveria. Why is that? I think it's important to recognize that, as I noted a moment ago, loving every Jew is a mitzvah in the Torah. And therefore, like every other mitzvah in the Torah, it's often difficult, and it's often a challenge, but nonetheless, it's a mitzvah. And because it's a mitzvah, it has to be approached like a mitzvah, and we have to be able to overcome. Come sit in the front, I'll call on you. You have to be able to overcome the natural hesitation or reluctance to observe that mitzvah. We have to force our way through all the obstacles that are there in order to fulfill it. But who really loves every Jew, frankly? All right, Lubavitch, okay. Shlomo Karlbach, not everyone. Shlomo Karlbach. In fact, one of the great insults I once said in arguing with another Jew, I said to him, "You're the type of Jew even Shlomo Karlbach wouldn't like." All right? Now that says something. He liked everybody. And yet the bond of the Jews have to each other is really intense. Jews, as we know, like no other people, come together under pressure, when we're persecuted, when we're attacked. We are acutely sensitive to the pain of every Jew, of every attack on a Jew. We feel it in a way that no other community, certainly no other faith community, not Christians or Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists or anyone else, and I dare say no other nationality feels as well. There's nothing that compares to the pain, the emotional pain, that Jews feel when another Jew is in danger. And I know so many of you receive, like I do, the news. We're in such an age where the news is immediate. Nebuch, a Jew, was killed last night, Dvir Sorek, Hashem Kom Damo, a 19-year-old Hesda student stabbed to death. These things, thank God they're infrequent this year, and really the last several years, but nonetheless, we shudder. We hear the news, we're shocked. It's like we live through the funeral, the pain of the families. And every Israeli is like, every Jew is like that, because the bond is so intense. And I know it's almost trite to say that this feeling that we have is so strong. So people always say, oh, so why can't we take that same type of attitude and just apply it when there's no trauma, there's no persecution, and there's no attacks? How intense is the bond? So Chazal say we feel the bond in terms of a guf. We don't always look at it like that. The Talmud Yerushalmi says in Nedarim about the Jewish people, gives a bashal, that if a person is slicing meat and by accident you cut your hand, so what are you going to do? Tachzor v'tamchei liyadei. That the good hand is going, the bad hand is going to slice the other hand in retaliation? No. So Yerushalmi Nedarim understands that as if we're all one body. And if a person would harm another Jew, insult another Jew, cause physical damage to another Jew, it's not another Jew. You're hurting yourself. It's like taking your left hand and hitting and breaking your right hand because you didn't like what your right hand did. All part of the same guf. Not only that, we're all part of the same neshama. This, the Arizal said, we're one soul, Knesset Yisrael. We're one community, one collective. And the Baal HaTanya writes in Perek Lamed Beis, we'll get back to this a little later on, he says, Lochei Nikru Kol Yisrael Achim Mamash. We are considered brothers, actual brothers, Mitzad Shoresh Nafsham Bashem Echad. Because the root of our souls is in the one God. It's in Achdus Hashem. Rak Shehagufim Echulakim. We are one soul divided into a variety of bodies. That's how the Baal HaTanya understood it. If we're one soul divided into different bodies, then the connection between us is inherent. Ari, famously, you find this in many Sidurim, right? Or before Matov Olacha Yaakov, the Ari encouraged people before davening to say, Hareini Mekabel Olai, Mitzvahs v'haftol recha kamocha. Before davening, I accept upon myself this mitzvah of loving every Jew as I love myself. You ever hear that? It's a famous thing on the Re. I've seen Sidur where it has that right in the beginning. You have to come on time to shul, or even early to get to that part, but it means if you're davening with other Jews, so you have to reinforce, you have to underscore that bond, that relationship before you begin. So there's a bond of guf, a physical bond. There's a bond of neshama. There's a spiritual bond. And there's a practical bond as well. Gemara says a few times, Melamed shekol Yisrael arevim zebazeh. The Jewish people are, in the context of the Gemara, we're guarantors for each other. We're responsible for each other. In a halachic derivative, we are motzi each other and can be yotze from a bracha, a mitzvah performed by another as well. But Rav Avinir interpreted a different way. He said, Melamed shekoyso arevim zebazeh. The word arevim sounds like what word? Taroves, a mixture. We're all commingled. There's an irbuv neshamot that we have. There's a mixture of souls. We're all intertwined. So therefore, to hate a Jew is literally to hate yourself. I guess that's the concept of a self-hating Jew. To hate a Jew is to hate yourself, because we're all part of one whole, we're all part of one collective. And of course, the famous proof that we know is that our tefillos are phrased that way, always in the plural. Chaneinu, Hashiveinu, Rifaeinu, Ashamnu, Bagadnu, everything is always we. So I have to tell you, I think we all know this, and I haven't said anything new. We know this. We know that we're one, we're plural, it's all together, etc. The question really is, how do we implement it? How do we make it so that it's real and capable of implementation in our own lives? How do we feel it more? And I thought about this over the last few weeks, and there were probably many different answers, but I thought of two ways, two practical ways that I think helps me and would help all of us. And I tell you at the outset, it's not easy. It sounds easy, but it's really not. But two ways that if we were able to embrace them, we would learn to love every Jew. One is to be done lekafschus, to judge others favorably. Because it's when we don't do that and we erect barriers between us and other Jews. I saw a story a few weeks ago. So Chazon Ish was in Bnei Brak. I guess it took place in the 40s. And he heard a car on Shabbos in the street. And he exclaimed immediately, it can't be a Jew. Like, it didn't compute that a Jew would be driving on Shabbos, and he would not therefore even presume to say that it's a Jew that was Mechal Shabbos. So rather, he instinctively said, it can't be a Jew. A similar story they told of the Belzer Rebbe, who came to Tel Aviv in 1944, and he's in his apartment, and he heard a car on Shabbos. So a chassid said to him, it's a chola, someone is ill. A few minutes later, there's another car,
And the chassid said, must be the yoledes, woman in childbirth, and rushed to the hospital. A few minutes later, zechole, same thing happened. So Belzer Rebbe said, oh, there are too many cholim here, all right? And he went to live in Yerushalayim. But the point is, he refused to accept what to us would be the obvious. You know, Agalorcha, I always say that, I don't know who's right or who's wrong. You know, we see cars all the time on Shabbos, and it's Dvarim Shel Mabakach, we pay no attention to it, because we're able to say that the non-Jews are driving around, even though Tinek, it's often Jews. In Israel, they have to construct these barriers and close roads, etc., because it really bothers people. It bothers them. I don't know if it's right that it bothers them or wrong that it doesn't bother us. Maybe it's both. Maybe we should be bothered a little more. But we do have the out of saying, like the Chazon Ish, it's not a Jew. It doesn't matter to us. Maybe we should be bothered a little by it. But it's in those cases that we have to be done l'kafschus. And we say no. We don't have to assume the worst. And very often, we have complaints against other Jews for the way they act towards us or towards others, the way they treat us, sometimes the way even they cheat us. And it's at that point that the Hafler HaKamocha becomes more difficult and challenging. And we have to ask ourselves, who knows what they know? Really? Who knows how they were raised? Who knows how much Torah they've learned? Who knows how much background they have? You know, we're living in an era now where there is such an abundance of knowledge of Torah, and at the same time, there's such a widespread ignorance of Torah among large segments of the Jewish people. It's amazing if you think about it. The more accessible Torah is, so the more Jews have the ability, if they want, to completely ignore it. 25 years ago, I'll tell my brother later who the fellow was, so remember him. It was, Tisha B'Av was on a Sunday. I was still practicing law, and I was walking from one courthouse to another in the Bronx with another lawyer, a little older than me, maybe a couple of years, Jewish, not religious. And he just said to me nonchalantly, what did you do yesterday? So I said to him, I fasted. See, he said, what do you mean you fasted? I said, fasted. Didn't have any water, nothing to drink, nothing to eat. So he pauses for a moment, and he said to me, did I miss Yom Kippur? And I said, no, it was Tisha B'Av. And I explained to him what it was. You don't know people's background. And sometimes, Rahman al-Islam, people are running on empty. And they just don't know. And for us to hold anything against people who just don't know is not really fair to them. The fact is that we all sin. Everybody sins. Every person has some unruly area of the soul. Sometimes, happens to all of us, we just can't control ourselves. So therefore, it all depends on the level that we're on. And that's what Chazal said in Avos, Al Tadinus Chavercha, Aksha Tagilim Komo. Don't judge another until you stand in his place. The point is, you really can never stand in another's place, in another's shoes, because you don't know anything about them. You don't know their background. We can never fully grasp another person's nisayon, his trials. And if that's the case, then our love should be undiminished. And no one said it better than the Baal HaTanya in a passage in Perek Lamed Beis that I mentioned part of it a few moments ago. You see, there are times when the Gemara says, in Pesachim and elsewhere, mitzvah l'sin aso. It's a mitzvah to hate certain Jews. Hate them, it's a mitzvah. I have to tell you, some people love that mitzvah more than v'hafer ha-kamocha. Who are we talking about? An unrepentant sinner, a person whom you rebuked and rejected it and commits vulgar violations of the Torah in public, and has no intention of changing. Mitzvah l'sinaso. So Baal Tanya writes that if after tochacha, after a person fulfills his mitzvah of hochech tochiach esamisecha, you have to try to bring them near anyway. He says those people, they're called brios, they're creatures. The bottom line is, sometimes all they are creatures of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his creations, and therefore we have to respect them on that basis alone. They're brios ba'alma. Tzarech l'moshchon b'chavle avos osava. We have to try to bring them in with ropes of love. And if you still fail, and the Jew persists in his sin, then listen what the Baal HaTanya says. Mitzvah l'sinosam. It's a mitzvah to hate them, but mitzvah la'ahavam gamken. There's a mitzvah to love them as well. Ushtehen heim emes. Both of them are true. Both of those emotions have to coexist. Sina mitzad harasha bahem. You hate what's evil in them. But ahava mitzad bechinas atov haganusha bahem. You still have to love the good that's in them. Shu nitzotz elokus shebesocham hamichayen nafsham elokis. They still have a spark of divinity within them that animates their soul. It means you have to hate the evil in them, but still love the good in them. The mitzvah l'sinaso does not at all contradict v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. No one is all bad. So the sinner who is chastised and still persists, you have to hate the tzad hara, the evil side. But it's still a mitzvah to love the tzad hatov that exists concomitantly. Now think about it. What he says is absolutely true. I have no doubt it's a mitzvah shel Torah, but think of how difficult it is to bifurcate those two emotions. To hate one aspect of the person and yet love another aspect of the person. It's possible, but you need the right framework, you need the right mindset in order to produce that. Rav Kook actually made a similar point in Musar Avicha. He writes, you have to hate the tzad chesrono, the deficiencies, the way that they're lacking, but mitzad tzelem elokim shelo, ro'oi lahakiro ba'ahava. The fact they still have a tzelem elokim, and that tzelem elokim inclines them to good. No one is all bad. In fact, for the most part, I don't think anyone we come into contact with is even mostly bad. People are mostly good, but they have things that are irritating or sinful. But you have to still embrace them, treat them with love, because that becomes most of the individual. It's not easy. The fact is, we love people who are like us, and we are wary of those who are not. And it's not, it's roiling this country now, xenophobia, etc. It's just that we identify with people who are like us. It's natural. But it might be natural, that doesn't mean it's healthy, and certainly doesn't mean it fulfills the requirements of the Torah. Especially when it comes to different types of Jews. So many classifications that we have now for Jews. I follow this really only tangentially. I hear about it from others, but all the dating websites that exist, it's mind-boggling the different types of boxes you can check off to describe who you are and the nature of your and level of observance or belief. I think it runs down to 20, 30 different categories, each of them with their own name. So we don't always like people who are less frum than us. I have to tell you, sometimes we like even less people who are more frum than us. We want people to be like us, right? I mean, parents always or usually want their children to be exactly like them, especially religiously. Doesn't always work out. Rabbi Che used to say very pithily that everyone sees themselves as, perfectly situated religiously. Anyone who's a little more frum, he's a frumuk. a little less froze, not bikaris. So we're right in the middle, right? You know, like someone else said about driving, it's the same way. A guy drives a little faster than us, he's a maniac. A little slower than us, he's an idiot. All right, that's how we look at the world. We know exactly. Everyone should be like us. That's not life, and that's certainly not for haftar echakamocha. And this is a great failing of Jews, and it's an impediment to v'haftar echakamocha. And this is really at the heart of what the Netziv writes in his famous Hakdama to Sefer Bereishis about the sinas chinam, which destroyed the Jews of the Second Commonwealth. The Netziv says that sinas chinam was intolerance of anyone who's a little different. A little different. Everyone, you know, again, there was factionalization in the second base of Mikdash era. That's also staggering. There was an external enemy that eventually prevailed, but people preferred churban than to compromising on any principle. And the question is how we overcome that. And one way to overcome that is to be don l'kaf schus and to recognize the profound nature of the mitzvah. Rav Kook wrote in Arot Yisrael that love of Jews is not a hargasha. It's not an emotion. It's not. We look at it like that, but it's not. Rather, it's mitzvah gadol b'Torah. It's a great subject in Torah. It's chachma amuka rechava. It's a deep, profound science. It's an area of study. It's not always intuitive, and it's certainly not just a feeling. How many areas of halacha do we study? We study the laws of Shabbos, and the laws of Tefillah, and the laws of Pesach, and the laws of Dinei Mamonos, and we try to extract from that practical lessons on how we're supposed to observe Shabbos, or Daven, etc. V'haftar echakamocha is no different. So how often has anyone studied the halachos of v'haftar echakamocha to understand what Rav Kook called this miktsah gadol b'Torah? How Rav Kook said, or Rabbi Kiva said, zekhal gadol b'Torah. It's the foundation of everything, alright? And yet, it's a halachic science, like any type of halachic science. And you have to know how to do it. And just like you could learn the laws of building a sukkah, which are theoretical, until you actually have to build the sukkah with your hands, so too you have to learn the laws of v'haftar echakamocha as well, and then know how to implement them. What's kamocha? So Baal Shem Tov said, you'll forgive me, Baal Shem Tov said, v'haftar echakamocha, he said, kamocha means kamocha. You should love your neighbor as you love yourself. He said, just like you're not perfect, and still you love yourself. I'm not perfect, but I love myself. So too, kamocha, you have to love him also, even though he's not perfect. And Maral said it a similar way in the Tiv Avat Hashem. He said, achdut, unity, is yisod ahava. It's the foundation of all love. Do not hate your brother in your heart, achicha, because he's achicha. That's why, because he's your brother. Who hates a brother? After kamocha, because he's kamocha. He's exactly like you. In his essence, in her essence, we're exactly the same. So therefore, that's achicha. That's kamocha. Too often, I think, we have this sense of solidarity because we're victims. The truth is, to me, that's a negative identity. Say we should love all Jews because Hitler killed us, or the Arabs want to kill us, or every nation in the world has people now who want to kill Jews. We shouldn't love Jews or feel a bond with Jews because everyone hates us. We should feel that bond and love every Jew because we're all the Am HaNivchar together. We're all the chosen people. So we have to look beyond the differences, and we have to look beyond the irritations, and look beyond even the delineations, the calculations that we make, the classifications that we have of every Jew. When I got to Israel, so they were roiled by a controversy,
riots in the streets of several cities. The police killed a young Ethiopian. Apparently he was unarmed. Circumstances still being investigated. There were riots in Tel Aviv, and they said they're not taking any more. Type of things you see in American cities, although the cause is that much different. So Rav Avinia wrote a whole article in praise of the Ethiopian community. How these Jews, all right, suffered for centuries and were completely cut off from Torah and the Jewish people. And they clung to their minhagim without really an understanding of Torah Shabbat Peh, with just basically a knowledge of rudimentary things, that they're Jews, that their home is in the land of Israel, there's such a thing as Shabbos and Taras HaMishpacha, and beyond that, and yet, when the moment came, they came back to the land of Israel. So he ended by saying, he says he has wonderful Talmid in the yeshiva, who descendants of Ethiopian Jews that came from there. He said his granddaughter married an Ethiopian Jew. It's very fine, perfect. And then he said that in Gematria, Ha'eda Ha'Ethiopiat equals V'hafta L'recha Kamocha. And then he said, if the numbers don't work out, and they don't, Mabakach, so what? Sometimes you have to look past the arithmetic, past the cold calculations, in order to love every Jew. If we're too calculating, if everything has to check out, if we want to check a box on every single person before we say they're worthy of our love, it's a great mistake that we're making. And we're undermining the very foundation of the mitzvah. That's the first point. Don't look up schus. We should recognize that we don't always know everything about anyone, and therefore, if they somehow disappoint us or divert from what our expectations are, it can't be held against them, because we don't know whence they come. And I think that leads to a second point that I've addressed in the past as well, and that you see in Israel also. That's to recognize the contribution of every Jew, of each group, and really of each individual. And you see, to me, it's like a baseball team. You have star players. You have role players. You have people who are better at hitting or pitching or fielding, etc. People, different skill sets. Everyone has something to contribute and does. And this I say sincerely, like everything else I say, sincerely. You look at the Haredi world, the modern Orthodox world, the conservative, reform, unaffiliated, the secular, bad drivers. If we look with a jaundiced eye, then every group has flaws. And every group does something that's either antagonistic to the goals of the Torah, or at least frustrates the goals of the Torah, and can disappoint the majority of all other Jews. But that's a jaundiced eye. If we look with an unjaundiced eye, then every group contributes something, whether it's Talmud Torah, or mitzvahs, or chesed, or concern about the world, or lagoyim, to be a light unto the nations. They fight for the rights of women, or the rights of men, or the downtrodden, the liberals, the conservatives. We don't have to agree with everything. But in fact, if you see at the core of what they're trying to accomplish, there is a Torah value there. All right, sometimes their calculations of the scale of values is skewed, but nonetheless, the heart of it is a Jewish value. So we have to look at each group and each individual in terms of the contribution to the whole that they're trying to make, and not how they detract from some unachievable ideal of perfection, which can't exist, never has, and never will. And you look at Jews even far from Torah, who too often we have a tendency to dismiss, and yet some of them do things that are omdim berumo shel olam. All right, I've heard many rabbanim and rosh yeshiva say in Israel,
If you take the average Chiloni, they don't really feel a bond, they don't believe in Tanakh, etc. And they have the opportunity to go to the West and live there, and yet they fight for the land, and they give their blood for the land, and they're willing to die for the Jewish people. So how do you trivialize that? How could you show any type of enmity to a person who does that? And so to people who value Talmud Torah, and people who reach out to others and try to get them to do mitzvahs, or people dedicate their lives to propagating chesed across the world, to Jews and non-Jews. How can that ever be considered insignificant? And all it takes, again, not that it's a small thing, but think of the Mishnah and Avos in the fifth barak, where Chazal discussed the difference between the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu and the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. One of the characteristics that is highlighted is that Avraham Avinu has an ayin tova, he has a good eye. Bilam HaRasha has an eye in Ra, he has a bad eye. What's a good eye? A good eye is an eye that sees good. A bad eye is the eye that sees bad. Very often we're afflicted with that, with an eye in Ra. Meaning, we'll look at any event and see the bad. Why this can't work? Why I don't like this person? I remember I've said this to a few people the last few weeks, which is on the top of my head now. I remember years ago, 20 years ago, David Cohn said that the whole dating process, as he understands it, is the search for the one flaw that renders the other person unmarriageable. That's an iron raw. I mean, you go out, I don't like that, and therefore nothing else is good. I don't like this group, this Jew, because they do so many things that I find irritating and wrong and unhalachic and against the value system of the Torah. That's the iron raw. So look at it a totally different way with an ayin tova, then what you see is, oh, everyone is making contribution. And they have chisronos, and I have chisronos. They do things that I don't do. I do things that they don't do. And that's what makes Klal Yisrael whole. That's the ayin tova. Among the traits that a Kohenet Torah has, the Mishnah Avos says, is oyves hamakom, oyves abrios. Person loves God and loves his creatures. So Maral writes in the Nativ Avat Areya, love of a friend, something which should shake us, at least in the first instance. Oyves hamakom, oyves haTorah, oyves habrios rather. Maral said, you can't love God and hate his creatures, because God is the one who created them. If you think you love God, but you hate a lot of people, and by the way, he doesn't only mean Jews, he means non-Jews also, they're also his creatures. If you love God and hate his creatures, you don't love God. And certainly you can't say you love God and hate his people. Banim atem l'shem elokechem. What does a parent want more than all his or her children should get along? Chaviv and Yisrael were precious to God because he informed us that we're banim, we're children. Love of the other is an expression of Avas Hashem. And the Teferet Shlomo writes, the first Radomsko Rebbe, that these two loves, shavim heim, they're equal. Love of God and love of his creatures. You can't have one without the other. The fact is, if you love God, if you love the creatures and not God, eventually you'll start making distinctions amongst the creatures as well. If you love God and you don't love his creatures, you don't really love God, because you can't love the Creator and not what he created. So why then does Mashiach first appear in Tveria? So this the Ben Ish Chai said in his commentary on Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Gemara says in Kiddushin, the famous Gemara, Bonem Atem Hashem Elokeichem, we're children of God. So Rabbi Yehuda said, we're children of God, bizman shatem nogim minik bonim. Yeah, when we act like God's children, atem kriyim bonim, then we're his children. But ain't atem nogim minik bonim, if you don't act like a child, you're disrespectful, disobedient, ain't atem kriyim bonim, you're not God's children. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara continues, Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir said, I think Avram Fried has a song with these words, Ben kach u ben kach atem kriyim banim. No. whether you act like children, good children, or whether you act like disobedient children, you're still considered banim. You're still children of God. Yisrael afal pi shechata, Yisrael hu. So Ben Ishchai said, where's Rabbi Meir buried? Tveria. What he means is that Mashiach will come when we embrace the openness of Rabbi Meir and we see all Jews as children of God, as our brothers and sisters, as even those who are sinners, meaning all of us, they're still Yisrael. Even if they're not acting like banim, ben kach u ven kach atem kriyim banim. It doesn't matter, we're all still children. And that really is the sum and substance of the famous comment of Rav Kook in our Ota Kodesh in the third Chelek. Vim necharavnu, if we were destroyed with the Beis HaMikdash, and the whole world was destroyed, our world was destroyed with it, ayidei sinat chinam, through baseless hatred, nashuv libanot, will return to build, ve'olam imanu yibaneh, and the world itself will be rebuilt, ayidei avat chinam, through baseless love. What's baseless love? It means love that doesn't require an articulable reason. There are no specifics. You can't put your finger on it. It's just that you look at this Jew, the group of Jews of which he identifies himself or herself, and you're done with kafschus. And then you see everyone's contribution, ba'ayin tova, that's avat chinam. You just see the connection that we have with each other. You see everyone with the good eye. You see everyone as making a contribution to the whole that no one else can. You see everyone as family, as part of one nation. That's how to love every Jew. Maybe I made it a little easier, maybe made it a little more difficult, but I think that's the pathway forward. The fact is, we can love every Jew, we should love every Jew. There are moments, I don't doubt, when everyone feels an overpowering, overwhelming love of every Jew. But in fact, the way to do it is not to have it happen sporadically, but to embrace these two values, these two approaches, and make them part of our worldview. Then, in fact, we'll be zocha to the appearance of the Melech HaMashiach in Tveria, with Reb Meir's view, and then he'll come to Yerushalayim, and a new world will dawn where not only all Jews will love each other, but the nations of the world will love us and appreciate us and respect us as well, and the world will be filled with knowledge of God. Kamaim layom michasim, bias Mashiach tzedkenu, v'mehera b'yameinu. I thank you all again for coming.